Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John in chapter 20. The book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Be reading the last two verses of chapter 20, verse 30 and verse 31. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. John chapter 20, verse 30. The Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, again, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be in church today. Thank you for all that have come through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church. God, you know exactly what's taking place in their lives. You know what kind of spiritual battles are being fought. And I pray, God, that each one would be able to sense your presence in this place, and each one would have an open ear to hear exactly what you have to say to them. I pray that you might empower me and use me once again to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord for the Gospels. They reveal to us the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the book of John reveals more about who Jesus is than any other book of the entire Bible. In verse 31, John writes, he says, "But these are written." And I believe he's possibly referring more to what he has written about Christ in the book of John, but it can be looked at as well as the entire Bible, because the entire Bible is the Word of God. And so he says, "This is written for all to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the one prophesied from the Old Testament, from the beginning of the foundation of the world, prepared to come in the time that God would send his only begotten Son. But for all to believe that Jesus is a Christ, and more importantly, looking right here, the capital S, Son of God." Now we know that through the virgin birth, we know that Jesus was God who became man. John reveals that in chapter 1 of the book of John. We're going to look at that later on. But it was the Word, or God, who became man. Now just think about that. God who became man. To fully comprehend the person of God is way beyond our human capabilities. Just think about what the Bible says that God did that would magnify who God is. He spoke the worlds into existence, created the heaven, the atmosphere, and earth. We think about the the planet Earth. And God was able to speak the world into existence. God designed everything about the atmosphere, placed the stars in the sky, designed the very air that would keep man alive. God created everything with man in mind. As we go back to the book of Genesis, we find the Bible reveals to us the days of creation. And everything that was created by God was designed with man, and how God would design man's body and purpose for his life was designed by God. So just think about that. God, the person of God, and trying to relate to this Almighty Creator God, who is omniscient, knows everything. There's nothing that God does not know. That's the omniscience of God. The omnipotence, all power, nothing that God cannot do. Now again, kind of the human mind, we have limitations. And for this limited mind to comprehend the fullness of God beyond our human capability, when we understand that He's the Creator, that He is omniscient, He is omnipotent, that He's sovereign, that He's eternal, that He's infinite. There's never a beginning to God. There will be no end. Now, again, we can't fully comprehend that. Everything that we are aware of and everything that our mind reveals to us has to have a beginning and has to have an end. And then the immutable presence of God. That means that God in three persons can never change. The immutability. It's impossible for God to be anything but who He is. And He is revealed to us in three persons, being the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, wow, that has to wow us. That has to just be more than what we're able to comprehend. God, the person of God. But to know that God is real, and to know all that we can know about Him, is the most important thing about our living. Whether you acknowledge it or not, it is. It's the most important thing about the life that He has created for us. It's very important. Things that we should be mindful of God. The things we can know about Him are the things that we ought to be mindful of about Him. And we ought to be mindful of these things every day of our lives. Because if we are mindful of God and the things that we can know about God every day of our lives, it will make a difference in how we live. You're seeing society today, even in America, that is changing drastically. Children. Murdering children. All the different things that are taking place. And can I tell you, it's not that they have access to guns. No amount of gun control laws are going to change that. It's that we are raising a generation that does not believe God. And that overall humanity is developing more of this humanistic philosophy of life outside of the presence and what we can know about God, whether it be morality or marriage, lifestyle. Things that we can know and should know and be mindful of every day about God will make a difference in how we live. Which brings us to the time of the year that we're in right now, in December, Christmas time. It's on our calendar. The Christian calendar is what the United States of America has adopted. We go all the way back to 1776, and we understand that this date has been on our calendar. It's marked the 25th of December. Was Jesus actually born on the 25th of December? There's no record of that. We don't know. It's what we have accepted as a nation that have put on the calendar, the Christian calendar, as the day to acknowledge the day to acknowledge a virgin birth. A day when, stop and think about it, this God that goes beyond our human comprehension became a man. A day that should be a reminder that this omniscient, omnipotent, sovereign, eternal, infinite, immutable God, creator of all things, became a man and lived and dwelt among humanity for some 33 years. And the Bible says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the one prophesied that would come. And not only is he that Messiah, but he is the actual capital letter S, meaning equal with God, Son of this Almighty Creator God. And he did this, and it has been written down so that believing you might have life through his name. Not all choose to acknowledge the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, especially acknowledging it on December the 25th. Some choose to see December 25th as just another American holiday, and of course for some time they wanted to just X Christ out of it. And it's not politically correct, you know, to wish somebody a Merry Christmas, but just a Merry Holiday. And acknowledging that as just being another holiday, possibly time off work, time out of school, time to receive presents, or time to have to go in debt to buy presents. Some see it in different ways, but they don't see it as God becoming man, a reminder that this Creator God that is beyond our comprehension to really understand who he is, but that he wanted us to know him, and he wanted us to know what we can know about him. And so he became man to present to us in a human form how God would live if he lived in the flesh. And reveal to us the things that are most important to humanity to understand as we live this life. A life that God has designed for us to live. Some see it as a Catholic holiday because of a St. Nicholas, which where Santa Claus did come from, and we're buying presents and all that. I mean, that no doubt. We look back in history, and it was. Some see it as a pagan holiday, and even before it became acknowledging St. Nicholas, it was that December 25th was a date that many, many, many years ago was used as a celebrated pagan holiday. And if you go back in history, yeah, you can find those things. No doubt they're there. But for most, especially those that have been born in America, for those that have lived in this Christian nation, it represents the birth of the virgin-born Son of God, which should be a reminder that God became man. Some great songs have been written to help us think of this throughout the years, and we have many of those in our own soul-stirring songs and hymns that we sing. And, of course, Buddy, standing in for Jeremiah, because Jeremiah's on vacation, presented some of that, and we sang a few of those songs. But as we look at some of that songs that have been written that would go along with this time of the year, no doubt it is they were written for us to be reminded of the fact that God became man. One of those that all of us are very familiar with, no doubt, is found on page 431 of our songbooks called Silent Night, Holy Night, acknowledging a day. And I'm going to present, I want you to listen, I want you to get a hold of the message of the song. My voice holds out, I'll try to sing some of this just to get it across as we usually do as a church. It goes, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant soul, tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. A virgin, mother and child, holy infant. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. What a reminder. There was a holy night. A virgin, mother and child, giving birth to a redeeming, redeemer with grace. Right next to that is Away in a Manger. Just think about it. Now, this is written. It's what we have. A reminder. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay, a baby, but yet, Lord. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there. He's the only one that can take us to heaven. Page 429. We sang this in Hark. The herald, angels sing. The angels are heralding this, are preaching this, are revealing this. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Born, but yet a king. Lord of lords and King of kings. And page 421 is written for us to reminder of God became man. The first Noel. Now that's one song that we sing that people wonder, why in the world do we sing Noel? What is a Noel? A Noel is a male given name. a male given name. And the angels were the first ones to tell the shepherds that Jesus, a male, had come with a name. The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. A reminder. Page 424. I just want this time of the year, especially, we ought to be mindful of it every day, but especially this time of the year, let's be mindful that God became man. The message is heralded. O come, all ye faithful. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. One more. 423. Joy to the world. If the world would acknowledge him, it would be joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth redeem her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Yes, God, virgin born, lived as a man. It's how God designed it. Some might choose not to believe in the virgin birth, but none can deny that the scriptures and history teach it. But these are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We have his life. We have the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the Gospels we have an account of how he lived his life, how he dealt with humanity. We have his life to look to follow after. This was no ordinary man. This was God who had been manifested in the flesh. It was God who came. He designed the fact that he would come, this God who created all things, put himself in a human body to live a life that we could look to identify with man and allow man to identify with him. That's amazing if you just stop and think about that. The very same one that spoke the worlds into existence came to identify with you and to allow you to identify with him. His life, his miracles. His miracles was to reveal that if this same God was able to speak the worlds into existence, if this same God who actually designed the human body as he came to man, he was able to perform whatever miracles that man needed him to perform. And through his miracles of even raising the dead to life, healing those that was unhealable by human standards, we have his miracles written down. We have his teachings far above anything else. The teachings of the very Creator God, written down, preserved, that we might understand what we can in our limited minds about an almighty eternal God. Written down so that we might know all that we can know about God. Not just about Jesus. Jesus was identifying with humanity, but in Jesus we find God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 9, "He that has seen me hath seen the Father." He came so that we might be able to have a picture of this Creator God in human flesh, so we might understand the whole purpose of our living in this life. And if we are mindful of that, then it has to make a difference in how we live our lives. And it will make a difference if we're mindful of it. The virgin birth reveals that Jesus was not the son of Joseph, but the Son of God. Prophesied in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Look back to what John wrote in chapter 1, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I love chapter 1 of the book of John, revealing that Jesus was more than just a man. Jesus was God. He had every attribute that God has. In John chapter 1, it says, "And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So this Word is God. Now look at verse 14. "And the Word, which was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the only one of his kind, only time it's ever happened, only time it will ever happen, virgin born, full of grace and truth." Did you notice it didn't say he was made the Word? No, he was the Word. And the Word was made flesh. The flesh was made in the womb. The body was made just like your body was made, the way God designed it to be made. Now, I'm closing here, but get a hold of this right here. Jesus had to be virgin born to have sinless blood. No other man could have paid the debt of sin on Calvary's cross, because every other man has sinful blood, tainted blood. It had to be sinless blood that would pay the debt of sin on, and that's why it could only be God, the only sinless one to ever live in the flesh. See, the curse of sin has touched the life of every man that's ever been born. Because we find that this curse of sin is passed down through birth. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. I want you to see this, something that many of you already know, but to be reminded of it is very important. And understanding this, very important. In the book of Romans, in chapter 5, and of course in the book of Romans, and we love the Romans road that revealed to us God's plan of salvation. But understanding salvation, you have to first of all realize that you're a sinner. And not because you have committed sins, because you were born with a sin nature. And every one of us were born with a sin nature. The Bible says in Romans in chapter 5 and verse 12, it says this, wherefore as by one man, this was Adam. Adam was not created with a sin nature, but he committed sin, and therefore he was cursed with a curse of sin, and that was death. Therefore, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, that was through Adam, and death by sin, that's what he incurred. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It is passed down from generation to generation, from and every child born of the flesh is born with the sin nature of humanity because of the sin of Adam. And the curse of that sin has been placed upon everyone born of woman. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. If I go too fast, write it down. I want you to read it later. But as we're coming to a close here, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. It says this, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers. You didn't get saved that way. But with the precious blood. Now listen to me. It took the blood for Jesus to be able to offer to us eternal life, forgiveness of sins. And it could not have been of human's blood, because human blood is tainted with a sin-cursed nature. It had to be the very blood of God. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, as it was in the Old Testament, and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. God designed it from the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you and for me. He was manifest. He came for you and for me, knowing that it would take sinless blood to redeem humanity to God. And so God himself became man. He himself became this human sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb. In 1 John chapter 1, just over a couple pages, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says this, but if we walk in the light, he is in the light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, capital S, Son, God in the flesh, cleanses us from all sin. God designed it to be that way. Can I tell you that God designed it in the human birth, in human conception, through the time in the mother's womb when that body is being made, as God designed it? There is not one drop of blood from the mother that goes into that baby. Not one drop of blood is transferred directly to her unborn child. From the foundation of the world, God knew. Jesus had to be virgin born so that he and his blood would be pure. Not one drop of blood is transferred directly to her unborn child. The blood is produced within the child, stemming from the fathers, from the father's part in coming together in that egg where that child would develop. Not one drop of blood. But then the blood would be produced. If it was a man's blood, it would be sin cursed. But since it was God's son, there was no sin. And so what was produced inside of that womb of Mary And the blood that was produced came from and stemmed from God with no curse of sin. Pure blood. Holy blood. Righteous blood. The blood that would it take to be shed on Calvary's cross to be able to redeem humanity to God. And so back in our text, and we're done. But these are written. These are written. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the sacrificial Lamb, the Son of God. And then this last part. And that believing, you have to believe it. If you don't believe that, you can't get saved. But that believing, ye, that means whosoever, might have life through His name. Believe and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you've not done that, if you don't have, as we taught in Sunday morning Sunday school, if you don't have that personal experience in your life when you realized because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit that you were lost and on your way to a devil's hell, and you realize by the direction of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is the only one who can give you everlasting eternal life. Not a church, not money, not wages, not any kind of works. Only through a gift that God has already given to us. You just got to believe in the gift of God and receive Jesus. And then when you receive Him, comes in to dwell within you, never to leave, to forgive and cleanse you of any and all sin in your life, and to preserve you blameless before the throne of God, to be able to go to heaven, have access to God today, and then to go to heaven and live eternally on a new earth, surrounded with a new heaven. What are you doing with Jesus today? Not what are you doing with Christmas, that's just a reminder. What are you doing with Jesus? Are you mindful of Him every day? Because in doing that, you're mindful of who God is, and it'll make a difference in how you live your life. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. What have you done with Jesus? Know who He is, but then what have you done with? Have you personally believed and have you personally received Him as your own Savior? We sing the songs, especially this time of the year, as a reminder of He is Lord. He is King of kings. He is Lord of the angels. He's Lord of man. What have you done with Him? If you've not had a personal experience, and if you've not personally received Jesus as your own Lord and Savior, let me tell you, you have to do that. There's no better time and there's no better place than right here and right now. Don't leave here today without knowing for sure that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. And I pray, God, right now that You would take the message and use it to penetrate hearts and minds, to elevate the person of Jesus Christ, understanding that He is God. He lived in the flesh for us. He died for us. He resurrected, is on the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession for us even yet today. God, work in our midst. Speak to each one today as they have need to be spoken to. Encourage them, enable them to make the decisions right now that they need to make. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.